Monday, February 24th. First reading from Sirach, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. All wisdom comes from the Lord, and with him it remains forever, and is before all time. The sand of the seashore, the drops of rain, the days of eternity, who can number these? Heaven's height, earth's breadth, the depths of the abyss, who can explore these? Before all things else, wisdom was created, and prudent understanding from eternity. The word of God on high is the fountain of wisdom, and her ways are everlasting. To whom has wisdom's root been revealed? Who knows her subtleties? To whom has the discipline of wisdom been revealed? And who has understood the multiplicity of her ways? There is but one, wise and truly awe-inspiring, seated upon his throne. There is but one, most high, all-powerful Creator King, and truly awe-inspiring one, seated upon his throne, and he is the God of dominion. It is the Lord. He created her through the Holy Spirit, has seen her and taken note of her. He has poured her forth upon all his works, upon every living thing according to his bounty. He has lavished her upon his friends. Haydock Commentary. In this book, wisdom is taken for the deity, the sun, or the gift communicated to men. See Proverbs 3:19 and Wisdom 7:25. God is eternal and unsearchable, more than the sand of the sea, the drops of the rain, the days of eternity. See Isaiah 40:12. Man cannot comprehend God's works. Before all things else, wisdom was created, or according to St. Athanasius, generated, if it be understood of the Son. The wisdom which is given to man was in God before creation. See Proverbs 8:22. The decree regarding the incarnation was from eternity. The Gospel from Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. As Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James, John, and approached the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. Immediately on seeing him, the whole crowd was utterly amazed. They ran up to him and greeted him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I have brought to you my son, possessed by a mute spirit. Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they were unable to do so." He said to them in reply, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, the spirit immediately threw the boy into convulsions. As he fell to the ground, he began to roll around and foam at the mouth. Then he questioned his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He replied, "Since childhood. It has often thrown him into fire and into water to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, everything is possible to one who has faith." Then the boy's father cried out, "I do believe, help my unbelief." Jesus, on seeing a crowd rapidly gathering, rebuked the unclean spirit and said to it, "Mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Shouting and throwing the boy into convulsions, it came out. He became like a corpse, which caused many to say, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. When he entered the house, his disciples asked him in private, "Why could we not drive the spirit out?" He said to them, "This kind can only come out through prayer." Haydock Commentary. The multitude were so solicitous to see Christ that they saluted him when yet a great way off. Some imagine that the countenance of our Savior, being rendered more beautiful by his transfiguration, attracted the attention and admiration of the people. Let those blush who pretend to affirm that all men come into this world clear of original sin, and perfectly innocent like Adam when first created. For why should this child be tormented by a cruel devil if he had not been under the guilt of original sin, as it is clear beyond dispute that he could not be guilty of any actual transgression? When Christ says, "Everything is possible to one who has faith," the sense is not as if he that believeth could do all things, but that anything might be done by the divine power and goodness in favor of him that had a firm and lively faith. If the man believed, as he said, why does he add, "Help my unbelief"? It may be answered, because faith is manifold. There is a faith of beginners and a faith of the perfect. The incipient faith this man already possessed, and he besought our Savior to help him to the higher degrees of this virtue. No one becomes great and perfect all at once, but must first set off with small beginnings, and thus gradually ascend to the height of perfection. Thus the man who, by the inspiration of grace, has received imperfect faith, may be said at the same time to believe, and still to be incredulous. Here we are taught that our faith is weak, and has need of support and increase from God's assistance. When tears accompany our faith, they obtain for us the grant of our petitions. Him whom the devil had made like to the dead, the goodness of Christ by his charitable touch restored to life, thus proving at once both his divinity and humanity, the former by his wonderful cure of healing, and the latter by performing this cure by a touch of the hand. The devil could not inflict a real death on the child on account of the descent of the author of life.